Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Well, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever gotten to the place where you just wanted to quit? Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a program. It's a job. Could just be a relationship. Do you ever find yourself kind of fighting for that temptation to just turn off the light, go to bed, and forget about it? Well, my guest for today calls herself a professional quitzilla. She says she's quit just about everything in life, but she's discovered a few habits that have helped her and others to conquer this choice to quit. So we're going to get to know her today and look into some of those ideas of what makes us quit from her book, Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. But if you're a man listening, I promise these will apply to you as well. I have to tell you, I think that if this woman lived in the Twin Cities, we'd be friends because I laugh at the things that she says, and that makes it so enjoyable to read a book and makes those truths sound all oh so much even more true. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the author. Nikki Koziarz is a Proverbs 31 ministry speaker and best-selling author of the book and Lifeway Bible study, Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. She's a wife to Chris, a mom to three girls, Taylor, Hope, and Kennedy, and one slightly famous pug, Herman. Her family lives just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, where they own a farm, affectionately called the Fixer Upper Farm. Welcome, Nikki.
Hey, Joe. Thanks so much for having me.
So your bio begs the question of why your pug is slightly famous.
Okay, so when we got Herman, the slightly famous pug, my girls actually decided that he was going to have his own Instagram account. And for quite a while, Herman actually had more followers than I did or anyone in our family on Instagram.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, it is kind of a unique pet to have, but maybe not if you live on a fixer-upper farm.
Right. We have some other unique pets as well.
So if I see some Instagram accounts out there of other animals, I might think you're connected to them.
You might. In fact, rumor has it that Fred the donkey is going to be having his own Instagram account soon too.
Very exciting. I will have to check it out. Well, Nikki, yes. I'm going to read just the opening of your book because I thought that it was just a perfect opening and really drew me in. It says, to the quitters, I get you. I am you. I run when things get hard. I quit when I don't like how things are turning out. The thought of staying planted anywhere makes me feel like it's going against the grain of who I am. In fact, this book you're holding almost didn't happen because, hello, my name is Nikki, and I've quit just about everything. So how did you come to the point where you were going to write this book, and how did you finish it knowing that you tend to quit when things get hard?
Well, you know, I really believe that sometimes the greatest things that God does through us is the stuff that he does in us first. And so for years and years and years, I struggled so deeply with this constant battle of starting things, quitting things, starting new things, quitting things, never really finishing anything. And I found myself in this position where I was this woman that God and others couldn't seem to count on past 70 degrees and sunny outside, perfect conditions, happy, go lucky kind of assignments, right? And so eventually, my husband and I talk about this in chapter one, we had a really hard conversation one day. And he basically told me that he kind of felt like sometimes I wasn't someone that he could count on. Now, I got a lot of mad thrown at me from some of the readers of the book about that statement from him. But the reality was, I wasn't someone. I was someone who continually said, I'll do this, and then I wouldn't do it. And so we found ourselves in this really hard conversation one day where he said those words to me. And the very next morning, I was spending some time with God. And I'll be honest, it was a time where I was praying for God to show me what I could show him in the Bible about how you shouldn't talk to your wives that way. And instead, though, the Lord completely humbled me and showed me the ways in my life where I had been praying and believing God for big things in my life. And God showed me, he said, Nikki, are you being faithful right here where I have you now so I can get you there to those places that you want to go? And so I just began having this conversation with other women, this Me Too kind of conversation about how hard it is to really stick out these assignments that God has given us. And I found this common thread among women that so many women were feeling like they just didn't have what it takes to really stick out these commitments. And so that's what ultimately led me to writing this book, was from this deep place of God changing things inside of me first, and then through the conversations that I was having with others.
You know, it is true what you said about this assignment, that sometimes we, especially as women, are looking for this assignment, and we think it's supposed to, first of all, show up in big lights, but that it's supposed to be something that is incredibly huge and life-altering, mm-hmm. and that the kingdom is going to never be the same. And maybe those things are true, except sometimes that assignment might be something, like you said, in the much smaller things. And by smaller, I don't mean less important, but not the things that have 5 million likes on Facebook, but just the little parts of our lives, those daily parts of our lives. Do you find that women are sometimes looking at this big picture instead of maybe looking at the smaller things that God's calling us to?
Oh, absolutely. I see it happen all the time. And, you know, this is just the reality of the culture that we live in today, right? Because social media has taught us that significant things have all the likes, the shares, the YouTube videos that go viral. And really, these, what I talk about in the book, these assignments of refinement that God takes us through, they are the places where nobody goes with us. Like, nobody wants to RSVP to our refinement party, right? They want to just be a part of the big, fun, exciting, light smokes and whistles kind of thing. But really, the greatest places of change in our character to match the callings that God has given us, they happen in these quiet moments where it is just us and the Lord. And so, yeah, we as a culture, we're missing that big time. I see it happening everywhere I go. And I see it happen in my own life, too. Like, I would be, you know, it would be really nice for me just to sit here and say, yeah, I see it in everyone else's life. But, yeah, there's times where, you know, like, I'll post something on my ministry Facebook page, and I'm like, well, why didn't I get more likes than that? Must not have been something that, you know, reached into the hearts of people. And I do think, you know, it's this fine balance where we do have to measure our effectiveness. But when it comes to these places where God's asking us to not give up on, I don't believe that there's a whole lot of people that go with us.
I even see this in, I know we're talking about women a lot today, but in students as well. I teach freshmen and in college, and they also are, as they're trying to declare their majors, they're thinking, well, you know, I feel God calling me into ministry, and they think that this has to be this big, huge, you know, Billy Graham type of evangelical calling, and that if they're not feeling that, then maybe they're not being called to ministry. And I feel like I'm having that continual conversation of, hey, you know, you could be called to be a teacher or a business person or a number of things, but to, you know, emulate who Christ is in each of those jobs, or as a parent or as a wife or a husband, that all of those things are the calling of God in our lives.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
So, yes, sometimes I feel like we miss the mark. And then if we don't get that that notoriety that we think we need or think we were supposed to get, then we want to quit. Have you had experience with that as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, here's the thing, though. Okay. So I think sometimes we think that victory is found in like those places where it is everyone's cheering and, you know, that's amazing, that's awesome kind of places. But really, our personal victories are found in the most unfamiliar and uncomfortable places of our lives. And so, like today, I'm just going to give you an example. Today is a work at home day for me, but it's also a day where I know that my number one ministry today is getting laundry done. And that is not a fun calling. Mm-hmm. Last night I was speaking to a group of women. Today I'm doing laundry. And so there's a place where we can start to feel insignificant by the task, the assignment that God has given us today. But I know that this quiet place that I'm walking through with my family today, even though probably no one will say thank you, no one will even notice that the laundry is done. It is a place that God is saying, can you be faithful right here? So that the next time you go speak, or the next time, you know, you're doing something, you know, that's kind of quote unquote in the public eye, that I can really work through that situation because I found you faithful right where you are today. And it's a hard balance to work through. I definitely don't do it perfectly. That is for sure.
That is so true. You know, if only we would think of our days like that, where we're doing chores and the things that need to be done in order to do the things that might be more important. If only we thought of it like the People magazine page where it says stars in real life. You know, Matthew McConaughey is, taking his daughter to preschool, and we're so interested in all of their things that they're doing, even though they might be washing laundry or going for a bike ride or stopping to get milk. And yet when we're doing those same things, they somehow seem unimportant. Well, you apply this book of Ruth to your idea of how we should kind of ascribe to her mentality of not quitting, even when things get tough. How did you find her story to be woven into yours?
Yes. So I actually was praying for God to bring me a mentor, somebody that I could get behind who could teach me what it was like to stick out a commitment from the very beginning until the very end. And I was looking for like a real in-life person. And instead, though, the Lord allowed me one day just to literally, I was just fumbling through the Bible, just, you know, just scanning things. And I came across this story. And listen, you've heard this story 100 times. I've heard this story 100 times. Like, we've all heard the story of Ruth if we've been in the church at all. She's a very common Bible character to be spoken about, to be written about. But when I started to notice that Ruth was this woman who had every right to give up, she had every right to quit. In fact, you and I would probably, if she would have given up, if she would have quit, we would look at her today and say, she had every right to do that. She should have done that. But because she stuck out this commitment that ultimately she made first to Naomi, but then to God, she was a woman who God used to impact the generational line of Jesus Christ. And when I began to grasp this idea of what could happen in my own life if I stuck out a commitment that I made to God, to someone else, to myself, and the fact that God could use that to change a generational line, I mean, there was like a holy fire that stirred inside of me. And I don't know about you, Joe, but like there's some generational lines in my family that I don't want passed down to my kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't want passed down through my generation, not even just in my own family. And so I just have been on this mission ever since I discovered that and got that picture of what God could do to tell other people about this and to say, listen, if God did this for Ruth, this woman who had no idea what was getting ready to come through her line, she had nobody to compare herself with or, you know, all of the tools and resources that we have today, what could God do through you and I, through every act of obedience that we do, whether we think it's significant or not? God will use everything, every assignment for his kingdom to further it in some way, if we'll stay faithful here so he can get us there.
Mm-hmm. What have been a couple of the things that you especially just want to quit and not stay faithful in, but then you have that idea of Ruth in the back of your head that says, wait a minute, I have to stay faithful in this one part. Is there anything that kind of is blaring in your own life that you have trouble not quitting?
Well, I will tell you, the book was something after I grasped this message, like I was like, oh my gosh, like I started speaking on it and people were like, this needs to be a book. Like I continually heard that over and over. Well, the craziest thing happened because I started bringing this idea to publishers and they were like, oh, Ruth's been done so many times. Like we need you to look at another Bible character. And so I teetered for a couple of weeks on the idea of literally giving up on this topic. I was like, okay, maybe I heard this wrong. Maybe it was wrong. But I kept going back to that place where I said, no, I know God said this. God gave me this message with this woman and I've got to stick this out. And finally, the Lord, you know, through a lot of different circumstances, began to weave myself into Lifeway. And it wasn't this way that I expected. expected or I kind of even dreamed or even imagined. Like, I could have never planned this out the way it happened. And it was one of these, what I call in the book, a just so happened moment, where we see Ruth and Boaz have a just so happened moment in the book and in the Bible. But that's what this became, a moment where I had stayed open to God's movement. I knew he'd given me an assignment to do this, and I stuck it out and I didn't give up. But there was a lot of doubt that came with it. There was a lot of people. You know, not everyone is going to be cheering you on in your assignment. They're not all going to say, yes, that sounds amazing. But we've got to get ourselves to this place where we're listening to the voice of God and we're believing that what he's given us, he will be faithful with it. And I think that's what I saw the most happen in Ruth throughout the story, was that, you know, she knew that God had given her this assignment of sticking with Naomi. And so that gave her the drive to stick it out, even when it got hard, even when it got messy, even when it looked impossible. But, you know, Joe, there's other areas in my life where I'm still circling the mountain of victory. I've not walked over it yet. You know, I look at the fact that, you know, I'm still battling weight loss, and I'm still battling some things that I wrestle with my thoughts. You know, I've got some patterns that I'm still not set free from completely. And I don't know that we ever arrive at this place where we just perfectly walk through every assignment that God has given us. I think we would be foolish to think that we ever get there. But yeah, I would say through the book was the number one area where I saw God's faithfulness and the victory that came from sticking something out.
I'm talking to author Nikki Koziarz today. She's written a fabulous book called 5 Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. We're going to talk about those habits when we come back. We'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back with Nikki Koziarz. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks for joining with us this afternoon. Well, do you ever feel like you just want to quit? Maybe it's your job or a relationship or a project you've been doing at home. Maybe it's something more serious than that. Well, today I'm just blessed to have on author and speaker Nikki Koziarz. She's written a book called 5 Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. It also comes with a great Bible study at Lifeway. You can join in on that and you can buy that online as well. Well, Nikki is married to Chris. She has 3 girls, Taylor, Hope, and Kennedy. And we've been talking about her book of how you can get to a place where you stop quitting things that are hard. Nikki, I wanted to run through some of the habits so that we can kind of, we've talked about kind of the first one with habit number one. She accepts the assignment of refinement. And you had talked about how you have to kind of keep going even though things get hard. Habit number two, I think, is relevant to almost everyone who would pick up this book or just live. It says habit number two is she follows through with her commitments despite how she feels. I mean, how many times do emotions dictate whether or not we decide to go forward with something or to just give up?
Yes. That's what I was talking about at the very beginning, where, you know, following God is really easy when it's 70 degrees out and sunny and everyone's cheering us on. But there's going to come a place where your feelings are going to try to dictate your direction. That is a definite 100%. I can guarantee you're going to have a day like that. And here's what I really saw this lived out in Ruth. So Ruth decides that she's going to stick with Naomi, okay? And Naomi, after she loses her husband and her 2 boys, she decides that she's going to move back to Bethlehem, the place where she was from. And so she's doing something that I call in the book, fleeing to the familiar. And this is dangerous, though, because remember in the last segment, we talked about how victory is found in the most unfamiliar and uncomfortable places of our lives. And so when we tend to flee to the familiar, it gets to this place where, you know, maybe we veg out on Netflix because that feels good, or we turn to comfort food, or we have retail therapy, right? Or just different ways that we go back to this place where we feel comfortable again with life and the assignment that God has given us. But Ruth, she's in this unfamiliar and uncomfortable place with Naomi, because Naomi comes walking into town, and everyone in the town is so excited to see her. But the very first words out of Naomi's mouth to the whole town was, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara." And that word, Mara, it actually means bitter. And I began to think about what it was like for these two women to come walking into this town with the same circumstances. They both had lost everything, but one of them is extremely bitter. She's in this place where she's shaking her fist at God. But then you have this other woman who was also feeling devastated. Maybe she had a little bitterness, but we're seeing her walk into town with a completely different attitude and a different perspective. And so when it comes to following through with our assignments, despite how we feel, we're going to have some days where we wake up and our feelings convince us, this is not worth it. You don't have what it takes. It's not, you're not going to be able to stick this out. Even if you think you had all the strength in the world, our feelings will try to convince us otherwise. And so we have to be really careful as a generation, as a church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to not get to this place where we're letting our feelings dictate our direction.
Well, sometimes we do have that mistaken thought that if God has given us this vision or we have kind of his will running through our mind, that it's going to be easy, that then it should be easy. And if we run into doors that are shut in our faces or, you know, editors who say, we don't want your book, you still keep going. And how do you do that? How do we get past that, even though it's humiliating or frustrating and even though we thought that that's what God had called us to do?
Well, I'm not a fan of blaming people for things, but here's who I would like to blame for this idea of everything should be easy. It's that Staples easy button commercial, okay? I know we've all seen it. It's just this idea of, this is hard. Where's the easy button? I need to hit it right now. And I think this is where we get tripped up the most, because somewhere along the journey, we have convinced ourselves that to follow after God means everything is just going to fall into place. And so we get to this place where it looks like it's all falling apart inside of our heads and in our hearts and maybe even in our circumstances. And so we're looking for that easy button with God. Like, we're standing before him going, "Hey, I'm so sorry, but I thought that this was your assignment, and I'm just trying to be faithful here. So why are you not doing the hard work right now?" And I don't know about you, Joe, but as I've studied the Bible, I've never seen a verse that told me that following after God means it's going to be easy. In fact, it says the complete opposite. There's verses that talk about in our afflictions, we are made stronger in him. And so in the book, I do give a couple of tools, something called the filter of hope that you can put your feelings through. And it's basically this place where you are identifying what is it in your feelings that is trying to make you quit right now. And then it's lining it up with God's word and letting his word be the strength that helps see you through what your feelings are trying to convince you to quit.
Well, just great words from Nikki Koziar as we're talking about her book, The 5 Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit, and how things might be frustrating, but God is still in them. We're going to talk more with Nikki when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon or for your lunch hour or just listening in the car or at your home. We're so blessed to have you as part of our listening audience. Well, I'm happy today to be talking to Nikki Koziar. She's an author, speaker, a best-selling author of a book called 5 Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. It also has a Bible study. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she owns what she calls a fixer-upper farm with her husband, Chris, and her 3 children, Taylor, Hope, and Kennedy. And Nikki, one of the habits that I think is so difficult when I'm in this place where I want to give up is habit number 4. You say, she gives others what she needs. And as you talk about Ruth, you just give such great examples of how even though we feel depleted, that's when we need to start giving. Talk more about that and how that worked out in your life.
Mm-hmm. So habit number 4 is she gives others what she needs. And if I was going to sum up this habit in 2 words, it would be emotional generosity. And I think as, and I'm talking about those of us who live here in the United States right now. I don't know if you have people listening from other countries, but in the United States, I kind of feel like we are pretty good about being generous with things like money, volunteering, giving items, you know, like food drives and things like that. Like, we have an abundance here in America. And so I don't think it's too hard for us to give things like that. But where I think we are really hurting as a culture across the board is this idea of being emotionally generous with other people. And giving others what we need is so hard because here's what happens, okay? So say I am, say you're one of my best friends, Joe, and we are in a situation where you just keep bailing on me, though. Like, every time we're supposed to go do something, you know, you're bailing on me. And so typically what we tend to do, though, is we start to immediately cut out those kind of people in our lives, right? Like, we just get to this place where we're like, I just don't have time for this anymore. And for sure, there are relationships we need to cut out, for sure, okay? But learning to give others what we need looks like this. So I would say, Joe, this is what I need from you. I want to spend time with you. I want this from you. And I would give that to you, okay? If you didn't give it back to me, though, that's when I would start to quit on our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I see this happen all the time in my life, especially in my marriage, right? I start to think, well, I did that, so now he needs to do this. Mm-hmm. But what I've come to understand about emotional generosity is it's the same as financial and other types of generosity. Who we give it to may not be who we get it back from. And I saw this happen in Ruth when she met Boaz, this man who had the potential to redeem her life, to marry her. And she could have walked up to Boaz and she could have been like, Boaz, let me tell you about this horrible situation I'm in right now with Naomi. She's bitter and this is awful and we don't have any money. We don't have anything. And can you help us out? But instead, she took the road of humility and surrender. And in the Bible, it actually says that when she came into contact with Boaz, she literally laid her face to the ground in honor. And what a picture of emotional generosity that is right there. And Boaz says back to Ruth, I've been told everything that you have done for your mother-in-law. Because see, Ruth was giving Naomi everything that she needed. She was giving her hope. She was giving her joy. She was giving her security by getting out in the field and working. She was giving her this eternal perspective, even though she didn't say it, it was through her actions of God is going to be faithful to us. And ultimately, Naomi was not the one who gave that emotional generosity back to her. Boaz was. So when we can grasp the idea that we can be emotionally generous with other people and we cannot quit relationships and jobs and conflicts just because that other person isn't treating us the way that we feel like we should be treated, when we start to trust that God is going to be the one who ultimately sees us through that, I'm telling you what, amazing things start to happen in our lives.
You know, I think about like women and their marriages and how I've read so many things that say that we need to be given emotionally to our children, to our husband, and that those may not be the people who we get restored by emotionally, but that could be our friends, you know, another friend, or maybe it's a ministry or something, but that still can fill us up so that we can empty out, even if we don't necessarily get that same capacity from the person that we give it to, and that's going to improve that relationship. But sometimes that's such a hard concept to grasp because, like you said, we expect that we're going to get back from the person we give to, but that's not necessarily how God has created our world's work, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're exactly right. In fact, there's a verse in Luke 6:38 that says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
Mm. Such a good word. You know, as we allow our emotions to dictate whether or not we want to quit, and as we get tired and we kind of want to give up, you write that there is a difference between knowing that your time or place in a particular season is over and it's time to move on, and allowing yourself to just quit. What is the difference between those two positions in your life?
That's a great question. And here's what I've gotten that question actually a lot through this message. There's a difference between quitting and finishing. And so the seasons of our life are going to come and go. That is for sure. I think sometimes we get tripped up with this idea of we can't ever finish a season. But, you know, in the book, I talk a lot about this idea of being a quitzilla, okay, being furious, fed up, and fast to walk away. But then there's this place where we can kind of sense that God is leading us out of a season or, maybe we have some people speaking that into us. I'm a big fan of seeking wisdom when making big decisions about whether or not your season is finished or not. But I think it begins with a place of God kind of just giving us a little nudge on our hearts. But when we're furious, fed up, and fast to walk away, that's when we're quitting. It's this place where, you know, maybe somebody made us mad. And so we're going to just kind of storm out of the room and slam the door. I don't mean that literally, but, you know, figuratively in our hearts. But when we finish, it's this place where God has released us from that season. So I believe in, first of all, seeking counsel from somebody who is ahead of you. Sometimes going to my girlfriends about things isn't always the best idea because they're going to be in my corner. That's what my friends are for. I want somebody who can look at the situation from a big perspective. And so I've seen that happen when I go to someone who's much wiser than me. But then also, you know, if God has said this season is finished, you will be walking in his faithfulness through it. So he's going to see you through to the very end. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to kind of just go, okay, well, now you just go figure this out on your own. His Holy Spirit is going to lead you through that season. And it is hard to know. I don't know that I've perfected this. But I know it's not a place of being furious, fed up, and fast to walk away. I know it's this place where God says, I need you to finish this well. So maybe for some people, you know, with a job, it's making sure that you have that replacement with you. In a marriage, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails from people like, am I supposed to stick out this marriage? Again, that's a place where a counselor, a licensed professional counselor or a pastor is going to be able to look at you and say, this is the season that you're in right now. I just don't think it's wise for us to make those decisions on our own.
You know, you're right that sometimes the place we find ourselves in has to do with maybe a choice that we made of a disobedient choice that has put us into a place where we're all of a sudden not feeling good emotionally. We're not feeling like we're within that step that God has placed us in because we've made a choice that maybe put us outside of that. Is that an appropriate time to quit?
No, because, you know, this is the part of the book that doesn't feel good, okay? But the reality is that sometimes our own regrets are brought on by disobedience. And I'll just be totally honest with everyone. I'll use myself as the example, okay? So I know that I need to get into a regular rhythm with exercising. My body is screaming that it needs that, okay? But the reality is, some days I just don't plan accordingly, and I'm not being faithful with this need to follow through this assignment that God has given me of getting myself healthy. And so, yeah, if I keep making that decision to not work out, to not run, to not eat the right things, I'm going to find myself in my own little pool of regret, and I can't blame anybody else but myself for that. And, you know, this is not a happy subject right there. Nobody wants that, right? We want to blame somebody. We want someone to say, no, this is their fault for this not happening. But a lot of times we do need to look within and we need to look at ourselves and say, where did I disobey God in this process? And that is not easy. And it does not feel good. That I would say of all the habits That one, the feelings one, when you're looking at your own disobedience, is the hardest one to sort through, because the enemy would love for us to stay in this place of our feelings telling us, well, you've already messed up. You've already, you know, this is, it's over now. So you might as well just give up. Mm-hmm. But this is what, can I tell you something really exciting about the number five that mm-hmm. I found out? The number five actually means grace. And so when I realized this, I actually realized it after I wrote the book, that number five is God saying, look, you just keep going from step to step to step to step. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up. But with God, he always gives us this ability to pick it back up, and his grace will carry us from thing to thing to thing to thing, until we get to that place where we're looking back and we see, I did it. I've got the victory in this. But yeah, we've got to keep going even in our own disobedience.
Well, and it does seem that he redirects our path. He makes our path straight. He promises that in scripture. And I remember someone using an illustration at I don't know if it was a sermon or a conference, but they showed these two paths, and one was incredibly windy and, you know, we had to go through mountains and down in valleys and through some streams and over some them things that were difficult to climb. And then the other one was a little bit lighter, and still they made it to the same spot. It was a lot shorter to take the path of least resistance, but they both made it to the same spot, and just use that as this analogy that, you know, we may make some decisions that are not our best decisions. Maybe those are with emotions. Maybe are those because we want to get out of a place that's very hurtful. But even though we make those decisions, God has a way of getting us back on track, even though it may take an extremely long amount of time, that he is faithful in continuing to lead us the way that he promises to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I don't know. I don't have my Bible in front of me right now, but there's a verse that talks about being able to speak our mountains down. And the Christian, like the church, we love to throw that verse out there, right? Like, you just got to speak your mountains down. And I was actually wrestling with that one day because, I was like, Lord, I'm speaking these mountains down. I'm claiming your victory over it. And sometimes I think I want to just speak to my mountains and have them come down. And there are times where God's power will do that. But sometimes I feel like God says, yeah, I'm going to need you to take another lap around that mountain first. It's not coming down just yet. And so there are steps that we have to take ourselves, for sure.
So, yes, it does take us a little bit longer, but we'll get there eventually. We'll just be a little bit beaten up and bruised. And maybe when we get to heaven, we'll see some really, everyone will look perfect. They'll never know what it is that you went through to get there, but we'll all look good. Yeah. So that's some positive. At least I'm going to keep that in my mind. Well, I'm talking to author Nikki Koziarz today. She's written just a great book called The Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. If you're listening today and maybe you're not a woman, you're a younger person or you're a man, these habits would apply to your life as well. That as we continue to go through these seasons where we might feel like we're being refined by God or may feel like we don't want to go on, these are just some great tips on how to not quit. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back with Nikki Koziarz. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender, talking to Nikki Koziarz today of Proverbs 31 Ministries. She's written a book called The Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. We've been talking about the challenges of continuing to go on, even though we don't feel like it. And sometimes, Nikki, you wrote that you've committed to things, maybe overcommitted to things, trying to maybe right some wrong decisions or something. And I just love the story you told about being a room mom, that was going to be a solution for really taking on a new adventure. Talk more about that and how that brought you to that quitting point.
Yes. So I thought room mom was the most coveted position for a mom to ever have, right? But what happened was when I checked that box, I also entered into a crazy season where ministry was starting to grow and I began writing and speaking and traveling. And before I knew it, I was in quite a little sticky situation because I was actually demoted from room mom. Like, who did that happen to? But I got an email from the teacher one day that basically explained that there was another mom who could probably do this a little bit better than I was doing. And so I had a choice in that situation, okay? I could have looked at that email and gone, well, who does she think she is? And I can't even believe that. And I was the one who signed up to do this, and my pride could have convinced me, you know, to push back on that and to fight for something that wasn't even my assignment to begin with, okay? But instead, I began to ask myself this question, and I think this is one of the most helpful questions when we're looking at schedules that feel overwhelmed and complicated. It's this question of, what's it like on the other side of me? Because when we're in the middle of making commitments and decisions about what we're supposed to be doing, let's just be honest, we're thinking about ourselves. And so when people start to get frustrated with us, it can be really easy to not look at ourselves. And so when we ask this question, what's it like on the other side of me, it takes our eyes off of ourselves, and it allows us to look at the situation from another perspective. And so when I did that, I realized that on the other side of me was a teacher who was frustrated because I didn't have the time to come in and follow through with the commitment that I had made. And there was another mom who did have the time and the ability to come in and fulfill this commitment. And even though this was something that I wanted because I wanted to be there for my daughter, I knew it wasn't my assignment. And so that allowed me to step back from that role and let somebody else step in who was going to do it way better than I could have ever done it. It was hard. It didn't feel amazing. And it's something, you know, I can laugh about now, but it definitely didn't feel that way at the time. And, you know, as a culture, we have convinced ourselves that to be busy is to be effective. And so I think that's why a lot of people are not completing their God assignments. It's because we're doing all the things that God says, I'm sorry, I didn't really ask you to do that. And we find ourselves in this place one day where we're looking back on our lives wondering, did I even do the assignment that God had given me, or was I just busy? And that's something I really struggle with. I don't want to be in that place at the end of my life when I'm looking back with those thoughts of wondering, did I fulfill everything that God gave me, or was I just busy?
Well, and kids are so great. They're such a great indicator of when we're doing too much as well. They're just far too honest for our good, because they do tell us when we seem to be a little overcommitted. At least mine do. I remember we were figuring out the hockey season, which in the Midwest is just a little bit crazy, and you have to volunteer for something. And my husband was just lamenting, oh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to coach this year. You know, something's changed at work, and it's so hard to get to practices on time, and it's such a huge commitment. But I really want to be there for those kids. And my child is sitting on the couch, and he walks over very quietly, and he just stands there. And I said, do you have something to say? And he said, Dad, I really don't want you on the bench. And my husband is just immediately, he was like, oh, I think you just ripped my heart out. And then he said, wait a minute. I don't have to be on the bench. Hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. I can just, you know, serve treats at the snack bar once every once in a while. And so it was just such a great realization that sometimes we busy ourselves with these things that we think are so important to our family or to our women at church or to someone else in the community. And we find that that may not be the place that we're supposed to be anyway. They may not mm-hmm. need us there. They may not want us there. And so our ideas are not always the best ideas.
Absolutely. And see, right there, your husband noticed that wasn't his assignment. And so he was able to have freedom in that. And I think that that's one of the greatest things that we can do, is get to this place where we just kind of take that deep breath. And, you know, I think that could be confusing for somebody, you know, wondering, well, I did make this commitment. Am I quitting? Am I just giving up? But again, I want to go back to that Quitzilla thought. Is it furious, fed up, and fast to walk away? Or is it this place of realizing, this is not my assignment, I'm going to bow out gracefully and let somebody else step in and fulfill what they can do better than I could?
And then it's freedom for that person. It's freedom for you as well. And then we have a little bit more room in our lives to really pursue what God is calling us to do and for yeah. whom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Nikki, one of the last habits that you write is that A woman who doesn't quit moves forward in faith. You talk about rest quite a bit, and I feel like women are always talking about rest, that sometimes we feel like we're just so tired that we are physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired. But you say we can move forward in faith knowing that if we give God that option to give us rest, that he will indeed fulfill that. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, for sure. You know, I think that the phrase, I'm just tired, is one of the reasons why we don't complete the God assignment. We live in such a fast-paced moving culture. We just get exhausted. It happens. And so in the book, I talk about the difference between being physically tired, emotionally tired, and spiritually tired. And there's definitely a difference in all of that. But, you know, what we know about Genesis, when God created the world, God rested from completion, not exhaustion. And so when we can get to this place where we stop looking at our to-do list and find God's faithfulness right where we are in the midst of the assignment, I really think that's one of the places where our hearts start to find rest the most. But, you know, the reality is, and I know we've got men listening, and they have body issues too. Like their hormones go through different things. But as women, especially, you know, there's some times where we need to step back and we need to say, okay, is there something going on with my diet right now? Is there something that my doctor, you know, needs to help me with? Is there a reason why I'm so physically tired? Do I need to get more sleep so that I can fulfill this commitment? And then when we're emotionally tired, that's where we really start to want to give up and quit because we just get snappy with everybody. I mean, my girls, like last night I got home late, and so I had a speaking engagement, and this morning I woke up and I was just tired. And sure enough, I had some snappiness in me. When we get emotionally tired because we've poured out everything, it's time for us to pull back and let God refuel us. And then when we get spiritually tired with our faith, this is a really dangerous place for followers of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're in a place where you're not excited about what God is doing and you're not excited about the assignments that he's given you, it's time to get spiritually renewed. And so it's looking at, you know, hey, is my church the best place for, is this church the best place for me to be? Am I listening to the right messages? Do I need to fill my mind up, you know, with more sermons, more teachings, more books that can help me really get fired up about what God wants to do in me? I think that's the most dangerous tired that we can get, is spiritually tired, when we just don't feel like our faith has enough to keep us moving forward with what God has for us. I share a quote in the book that says, the perseverance of our faith holds the mystery of mercy, that to do less is to be more. And that is something that we definitely have mixed up in our minds. And I love just that you gave that picture. Like, I knew this morning we had this happening today, and I was excited about it. But I knew that I needed to pull back spiritually. And so I spent a good amount of time this morning in prayer. And then to hear that through that mercy, God was prompting you to pray. What a great picture that is of our faith, and what it means to do less is actually to be more, because we're letting God work through our weakness. I love that.
Well, Nikki, I just thank you so much for writing this book, Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. We all feel like we're in that spot, I'm sure, many times throughout our days or weeks. And if you caught part of this interview and you want to catch the whole thing, you know, you can go back to My Faith Radio and you can just click on Connecting Faith and podcasts and be able to listen to Nikki's interview in its entirety. And if you want to find out more about Nikki or Proverbs 31, Nikki, why don't you tell us how to do that?
Absolutely. So you can head to habitsbook.com. That'll be the easiest place for you to connect with me and the message. And if you want to check out Proverbs 31 Ministries, head to proverbs31.org, and you can see everything that the ministry has to offer you. Completely free Bible studies, First Five app, radio programs, devotions, all kinds of great stuff.
Well, Nikki, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and I just wish you the very best of luck as you continue to promote this book, but also any other writing that you're doing, and we're just the projects that you're doing with Proverbs 31. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe.
You've been listening to Connecting Faith. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.